Praise God. Jesus is good, isn't he?
Yes.
All right. Can I open in prayer?
Yeah.
Okay. I ask you to close your eyes. Open your invisible eyes. And as I pray, just follow along with me. And just give your whole heart and yourself to the Lord as I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, I thank you for staying on that cross, Lord, and taking the sins of everybody in the whole world upon yourself, Jesus. That you had that thorn crown crushed upon your skull, the lashes across your back and body. That you were hammered to that cross by spikes, Lord. And that, Lord, you were the sacrifice for the whole world. That every sin, every trouble, every disease, every deficiency, you paid for it. That we can be found completely innocent in your sight. Father, I just thank you that you receive the payment of the Lord Jesus Christ, wiping away every account of guilty for everyone that can hear my voice and even for the entire world, Lord. Lord, that the devil has been defeated, that we've been made righteous by the sacrifice of Jesus, that we can boldly say that we have the righteousness of God and that we are the righteousness of God. That you've made us righteous, Lord. And Lord, that every thought, every feeling, every pain, every judgment that rises against us, Lord, we now have the right to condemn it because you made us righteous. So, Father, I ask that everyone that can hear my voice would have both feet firmly planted and grounded in the fact that our sins have been forgiven, that we have been released from the power of hell, grave, and death, and that we've been released from the hands of the devil, Lord, that we have been completely set free, Father. And Father, I ask that you would so securely, indelibly print this on the hearts and the minds of every individual, Lord, that we cannot be swayed. That when troubles come, when judgments come, when pain comes, when sorrow comes, Lord, that we can take authority over those things in Jesus' name and say, not here, not here. And Father, that we would rise and shine in the glory of God, that we can settle in our new estate, that we are heavenly, Father, that we are spiritual, Father, that we are sons and daughters of God, Lord, that all power and all authority has been given to Jesus, and Jesus dwells in us, Father, by his Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you that the anointing that was on Jesus is on every individual here, Lord, that has accepted your Son as their Savior, Lord. Father, I ask that each person's conscience would be washed fresh and clean so that anything of their past deeds, Lord Jesus, would not limit them to what you have for us ahead. That we would be able to walk with boldness and confidence with a clear conscience before you, Lord, every day of our lives. That, Father, that we would be lights that shine in a dark place, radiating not only the glory and the presence of God, but the love of God, Lord. That your love would be our defining mark. That your love would be the thing that people recognize about us, that we walk in the love of God. But not love only, Lord. In boldness and confidence and courage and power, with strength and authority, setting people free everywhere, Lord. And that, Father, I ask for those that can hear my voice right now, if there is anything holding them back from being able to walk with boldness and confidence and power and authority with a clear conscience before you and men, Lord, that would be renounced and released and forgiven of them, Lord. That they can walk completely free and clean in your sight. Father, so often we try to grow in maturity. We try to grow with more Christ-likeness on the outside, Lord. But Father, without the revelation knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ within us, Lord, it's just done in our own strength. So I ask that you reveal to everyone, Lord, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our eyes would be open to you, Lord. And I give you all thanks, all gratitude, all praise with thanksgiving, Lord, that you are the risen Lord. And as a free gift, you have brought all of us into the family of God. And I thank you for that, and I give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he? God is good, isn't he? God is very, very good. And I want to let you know, he's gooder than you estimate him to be. Is that good English? I don't know if it is or not, but you know what I mean. No? Yeah, better doesn't mean good, though. I want gooder. I want more good. His goodness... Yes, that's right. His good is the goodest of all goods. Okay? It's the biggest of all goods. It's the most everlasting of all goods. It is wonderfully lively, his goodness. And I'll tell you, the more we relish in his goodness, the more we really relish in the goodness of God, we will see the cobwebs clear, the little pains leave, confidence rise up, clarity return, and we can start seeing more and more and further, not only in the spiritual realm, but naturally also. Do you know that your body is designed to have life in it? It is designed to have life in it. We were created to shine as lights by the glory of God. Okay? And from the curse, that got preempted, nullified. It got diverted. And then we started living on self-life instead of the life of God. And I want to let you know, sickness, pain, diseases, mental illnesses, clumsiness, all of that stuff comes from being focused on self rather than on the life of God. And as we focus on the life of God and we praise the Lord and we're thankful, we spiritually rise up from being a low tone, whoa, sickness, pain, disease. Doesn't that all put you down, down, down? Troubles, sorrows, the pressures of this world crush you down, right? But when you're joyful, your physical body, what does it do? Does it go, I am so happy. I am so glad. No, it does not. When you're joyful, you move in this direction. Your physical body, your tone, your voice, it's like, how are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing well at all. All lows, isn't it? But then if you meet somebody, how are you doing? And they go, I'm doing great. You really notice the difference, don't you? The world tries to fake it and teach their body to respond on these upbeat, vibrant attitudes and modes. I want to let you know, that's all self-modification. You can only do it temporarily while you're remembering it. But I want to tell you, you're designed for life. You're designed for glory. You're designed to love big, real big. You're designed for that. And when you walk according to the thing that you were designed to do, it's effortlessly done. It's naturally done. And so what we do is, as we fellowship with God, giving Him praise, singing to Him, making up new songs. In other words, make it up as you go and just say great things and talk to Him and share everything and just shine brightly, brightly, brightly shining. What happens is life starts filling you again. Life starts coming into your flesh again. Life starts coming into your mind again. Your emotions start playing off of this new life that it's recognizing. And your endorphins, your brain starts producing the endorphins, going, I like this. Let's think about this kind of stuff. This is great. And it starts flooding your body with this wonderful life of God. So, it's up to us to get it started. It's up to us to take the time to raise up ourselves in the presence of God. And as we actually do, you know what happens? We don't walk around like this. We walk around like this. I'll tell you what. Let me just say this. Our physical bodies reflect the way we think on the inside. Some of us have pains and sorrows and sufferings that we've had for a long, long, long time. Okay? And here's the rub. If you're trying to get God to do something for you, you continue to suffer because that's not how you fix it. That's not how the problem is fixed. And so what happens is a person continues in that trouble, wondering why God's not with them, or why He's not doing that, or why He helped so-and-so, but I still have this in me. And we have to do our part. We have to do our part where we raise ourselves up to be brighter and brighter and brighter. Now, I want to let you know, you can't do it in a lie. You can't be fake. You can't do it and be fake. You've got to do it in real life. It's got to actually take place to work inside of you. You know that? If I asked somebody to pick this up, if I asked one of you to pick it up, you can't just sit in your chair there and mentally ascend to picking it up. You got to actually come over here and take it out of my hand and pick it up. Right? You've got to actually do it. You can't want to do it. You can't just think about doing it. And here's a great one. You can't try to do it. You have to do it. And I think that what's a little bit of a hindrance in some people's lives is they don't know how to push through to how to actually get the job done, how to actually bring healing in my body, how to actually turn my finances around, how to actually have better relationships. How do I do this and make it work right? How do I actually, that little gap from I have a need and God can supply it, how do I get this little part in between filled in so that He actually, the supply comes to the need, and then the need is evaporated and it's not there anymore because the need's met, right? Right.
Where we have to let the Spirit of God rise up in us.
Yes. So she says that a lot of times we're looking for the outside to change, the circumstances to change. But what I'm saying is it's got to rise up in us. Yes. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. So then let's go to a verse, and then we'll go to verses. So the first verse I want to go to is in Matthew. Matthew 21. Now, I know that this little thing right here, that it's in other places too, but I want to use this one. And we're going to do the lesson of the withered fig tree. Are you with me? Okay, we're going to do Matthew 21, verses 20 through 22. Matthew 21, verses 20 through 22, and it's about Jesus and the fig tree. Okay, are you with me? And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Right? Okay. So, here's the need. Here's the provision of God. What's the thing that brings it together? Faith, believing, and doubting not. And doubting not. And I think that sometimes we don't get rid of the doubting not part. We need to remove the doubting not part. Okay? So this is going to be a very terrible example. Okay? But you will remember it. Is that okay? Okay. I'm not the first person to use this example, so it's in the atmosphere already. Okay? So we're having a potluck downstairs in the church. Okay? And by the way, everybody needs to bring something. And we're all going to cook something and bring it, all right? And I am going to bring cupcakes. I am going to bring some of the best cupcakes. These are going to be chocolate cupcakes with little chunks of rabbit poop for the insides. So I'm going to take little rabbit pellets and I'm going to put them in my cupcakes, and there's going to be a little bit of poop in there with the beautiful cupcake. But don't worry. Don't worry. I am going to lather them with chocolate frosting. I'm going to put so much chocolate frosting on top of these little rabbit pellet cupcakes that it doesn't matter that there's poop in it, because the frosting's going to make it so great. All right? How many of y'all want that cupcake? No, but there's going to be really good frosting on it. I'll lick the frosting off. Just hope there's none near the top, okay? All right. That's what happens if in our hearts we don't believe what the Bible says and what we've been given. But on the surface, we say it and say it and say it and say it and ask God and try to do everything over the top of what's actually not in alignment with real belief. Okay? And when that happens, when we don't have the real belief in our hearts only, it's difficult to bring to pass what we're going to want, what we're asking for. Okay? So the doubt has to be removed. Okay? And you guys know automatically that offenses have to be forgiven, right? So you already know that. So most of us, if there's somebody that we're really angry with or upset with, we know that we need to get rid of that and get clean. Because if we don't forgive people from our hearts, God says he won't forgive us either. You know, and there's just no getting around that. You have to do that. But the doubting part, there's not such a big deal emphasized about the doubting part. It's like doubt won't keep you out of heaven. Doubt won't cause God to not forgive you. How about that one? Doubt doesn't really affect your position in God. Unforgiveness does, but doubt doesn't. So a lot of people don't really take the time to get rid of the doubt that's in their heart. The thing that you quietly, subtly, and invisibly say inside of you on how you estimate and regard yourself. Okay? So that idea that you have about yourself could actually be stopping what you're believing God for. Because underneath it, you may not think it's going to happen, or that you're worthy of it, or you're asking too much. There's something stopping it in there. We need to be at the place, and especially here in healing school, that whatsoever thing we ask or say, believing in our hearts that we absolutely, positively, unequivocally will have what we say. I think there's a little area right there in the body of Christ that needs to be worked on. Are you guys with me? Are any of you in that category? Okay, so we need to deal with that stuff, okay? So how do we get the doubt out? Let me just make another example. You know how Jesus talks about the parables of the four kinds of ground and sowing words, and the ground is your heart, and it's how you hear, with what depth, with what seriousness you consider what you're hearing is going to be the results that you're going to get. And if it's a stony ground, in other words, if I tell you something and it just goes in one ear and out the other, it's not going to affect you, and you won't even think about it again. It's gone. Because the devil's going to snatch that away so it doesn't come back to your memory. And then you've got the people that you hear something really great from up here, really exciting stuff, and you get all jazzed up. But by the middle of lunch, you're completely on an entirely different channel. Completely, entirely different channel. It was great for a moment, but it has not become who you are yet. Who you are. Because remember, the word goes into your heart and produces. And then there's the people that it goes in and it does stay in there. It is, they actually got it. But the busyness of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, that, man, I got to pick my attention on making money and doing things and taking kids to soccer and taking care of the house and the yard and my retirement account, and what about that president and all these other things of this world, grab their underneath attention. Do you know what I mean by your underneath attention? Your real attention. That one that is on its own stream, and it's the one kind of guiding you through the course of your life. Your upstairs attention, it decides how to handle the day and what the needs are for the day. But the down deep attention is kind of like that course that you are on. And other people don't really have an ability to change that course. Only you decide where that one's going by what you believe, what you agree with, and what you put your attention on is what sets that little course underneath there. Okay, so the doubt is in that river. It's in that river. That one that when something comes your way, good or bad, it's that first response. It's that unregulated, unthought about, it just comes out of your heart response. That's the one that's in this lower river, the deep river that is taking you on the course of your life. This is the river that the Lord is operating in the deep things, because the Bible says that deep calls unto deep. So it's the voice inside of your voice, that deeper voice inside of you. That's the one that has to get cleaned up. Not the one on the surface in your head for right now. It's a deep thing. And what you do is when you remove the wood, the hay, the stubble, the rocks, the roots, the sticks, the twigs out of the way, you have good, noble soil left in your heart. And that good and noble soil, as one of the Gospels says, is the one that really produces the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold results. So where are those results coming from? Just go ahead, say it out loud. Your heart. I need you to get this. The results come out of your heart. The 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. Not out there in the world. It comes out of your heart, because your heart is the ground that produces by the words that you've heard. Are you with me? So believing whatsoever thing you say has to mean that you have to take the time to clean your heart out by who you say you are. Okay? Now I can tell you, Pastor Trey can tell you, and many others, Pastor Minton, we can all tell you who you are in Christ. We can tell you and tell you and tell you that. But with what ears are you hearing these words? What do you tell yourself? What do you tell yourself? So, this book right here, the Holy Bible, is a very special book. Because along with this comes God. This book is designed differently than any book that can be printed. You can take a copy of its pages, and the same anointing will be on the copy. You can print it and print it and print it, and the same anointing will be on every one of these. It's a different kind of a thing. God's blessing is on this book. And through this book, he made this particular book the doorway into heavenly victory. This is the way in. This is the thing. So what we have to do is get verses out of this Bible that unlock our hearts. We need verses in this Bible that remove twigs, branches, roots, and rocks. We need to deliberately get what we need out of this book in order to, when we say it, it absolutely, you go to the bank on it, happens. Let me just talk to you for a minute, if it's okay. How would your life be if you actually had the revelation that whatever you say will happen? Think about this. For you only. Don't think about anybody. For you only. Because I used to go looking for God moving in other people. Get somebody with an anointing, pray for me, please. Somebody with a revelation, speak to me, please. Somebody with some power, lay it on me and transfer it to me, please. Why? Because I don't have what it takes, so I need it from somebody else. This is what the Lord said to me. I did not like it, by the way. But he's growing us up. He raises us up. And this is, he's a good father. You know, it's like, how many have been hurt and you had to go through therapy? How many had surgery and you had to go through therapy? Okay? Those therapists are cruel and mean people, aren't they? Oh my gosh, it's like they have, God removed the mercy chip out of them. Your body is hurting for certain, and they're making you walk and move around and get out of bed. They're making you do stuff. You just had surgery. Don't they know that? What they know is this, is that you have to work through the pain. You have to work through the pain. If you give in to the pain, it will make you weaker and stiffer, immobile. Even your immune system will go down so that you become more susceptible to worse things. So they know that if they make you go counter, the opposite of the way you feel in the flesh, you get stronger. They know the way, that's the way the body is designed, okay? It's the same way in the spirit. So God tells me, you be the person of God you've looked for in others. You be that person. What you think a godly person looks like, what you think an anointed person's life is like, you be that person. You be it. Whew. That was a hard word for me, because that means I needed to, can I be vulnerable with you? I needed to figure out how to not be the way I was. I had to actually acknowledge the way I actually was and that it wasn't good enough in God's eyes. Oh, was I accepted? Yes. Oh, was I loved? Yes. Oh, will I be in the kingdom for eternity? Absolutely. But my effectiveness on the earth would not take place. Because I agreed that the word was true, but I denied its power. I denied that what this thing said actually was for me and would work for me. I looked for other people to do it, for them to pray for me, for them to speak over me, for them to anoint me, for them to tell me what I was supposed to do, what I was called to do, for them to give me a position, for them to recognize me somehow, instead of me just being and letting the Lord manifest through me as me, and let that be okay the way that it comes out. Because there's never been anyone quite like me in the world. And there's never been anyone quite like you in the world. In the fire, it doesn't care what the log looks like. It doesn't care if it's all gnarled. It doesn't care if it's cracked. It doesn't care if it's got bark on it or no bark at all. It doesn't care if it's still got branches attached. It doesn't care if there's bugs in the wood. It doesn't care if the wood's rotten. It doesn't care. It will burn. It will find something in that wood and consume it. The gift of God is the same way. The Spirit of God. It doesn't matter what you say about yourself. He's greater than that. And you've been given him. And he will manifest for you and for me. But we have a responsibility to believe and to doubt not. And it's up to us to figure out, like for me, when he said, you be the man of God you've always looked for in others. I had to come to Jesus' meeting. I had to. Because you know what? He put it on me. Now, it's one thing for another person to tell me, you be the man of God you've always looked for in others. Because then I can say, well, God has something to say about that. He decides whether I walk in the anointing or not. He decides what doors are open. He closes the doors that no man can open. It's on him. But when he tells me, where do I go from there? Who do I put it off on now? I can't put it off on anyone. I am convicted by my own desires that are in my heart. That I've wanted somebody else to be for me. To represent God in the flesh for me. Now, because of my own desires, I've been convicted by God to manifest those things myself in me. If you weren't here Sunday night, I encourage you to listen to it online or get the recording, because it was really good in 2 Peter chapter 1, to where God puts our calling and election absolutely squarely on us to fulfill. No bones about it. It's squarely on us to pull it off. It's not by chance. And you and I would love it, really, I would love it if, say, Sally Smith was so anointed with the gift of healing, with the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that she can walk up to me, touch me. Every one of my troubles and problems are gone. Money's instantly in the bank. And my mind is enlightened with the revelation that Jesus walked with while he was on the earth. I would love if Miss Sally would touch me and that would happen. Wouldn't any of you like the same thing? Oh, that would be nice. That's the easy way. But to put the responsibility on me to believe. Here's one. Ready? Oh, can I kick you while you're down? Thank you. I take joy and pride in my work. Praise the Lord. Righteous man falls down 6, gets up 7. Is that how it goes? Something like that. Praise the Lord. That, here's one. You be the man or woman of God that you've always looked for in other. If you're looking for someone else to lay hands on you for you to be healed, you need to be the person that lays hands on people and gets them healed. If you're looking for a person to give you a word that sets you free, you be the person that gives people words that sets them free. If you're looking for somebody to prophesy to you to tell you your future, you be the person that prophesies and tells the future. Are you with me? So now here's the thing. How do I get the unbelief out of my heart? Like I had a trouble with the Lord. How do I not be me? How do I not be the way that I think and feel? How do I not do that? I'm glad you asked. First of all, I do this. Let's start simple, okay? What do you want from the Lord? Pick something. Write it down if you're taking notes. Think about it. Let's just take 5 seconds. In other words, when you pray, believing you receive, what would you like to receive? Pick something. If you don't have paper and pen, mentally think of a thing. I can tell right now, some of you are afraid to even think because you know that you're going to have to work through it. Praise God, though. All right, so you got a thing. Now, if you speak that right now into existence, will you absolutely have it? If there's anything in you that doubts that you'll have it, that thinks, well, maybe, maybe not. If God backs me up, I might have it. But by me just by myself right now saying it, will it happen? First of all, just to keep us all on the same page, because I know there's people all over the world listening to this, I am talking to people who are born again, who've been delivered, who believe in the Word of God as truth, and are committed to the kingdom of God. These are the people I'm talking to. I am not talking to someone who does not believe in the Lord. I am not talking to someone who is absolutely bound still in their life. I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to people that want to grow greater in God, that they believe there's more available, but it seems to be a little bit elusive right now. Okay? And they're willing to work it out to walk in the more. So those are the people I'm talking to right now, just for the critics that are out there, okay? So, find out what you're believing God for and write it down. Think about it. Get it on a piece of paper. And now, when you speak to have that thing manifest, listen. Listen, remember, there's the river on the top, and then there's a deep river in your heart. The river on the top cannot adjust big course changes. It can only do little course changes, okay? And that's the person that believes God, and they get a little bit of results. Because it's when you forget about it, it's gone, okay? The deep river in your heart, it's like an elephant river. It never forgets. It never forgets. It's who you are. The accumulation of your assessment, your experiences, and your beliefs to saying who you are. Okay? That's that inner dialogue, that your own voice talking to you down in there, you know, where you can be talking out of your mouth, but the other voice is talking to you. That guy. That guy needs to believe. That guy can't doubt. Okay? That guy, if he has something else in there that he believes or she believes, that's what needs to be removed. That other belief that's absolutely true to this person. And that's why it's so difficult, is because it's absolutely true according to your best assessment of the situation. Let me just say that. According to your best assessment of the situation, because it's you that does the talking and the believing. Okay? You and I have to take this and prove to ourselves that it's true. I can't prove it to you. I can tell you of my journey. I can tell you of my revelation. I can tell you what I've walked through. You can only use that as a step-off point for your own life and then bring it into your life if you want to. Only you can do that. So you have to read this Bible. You have to get with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, your word says, but I don't believe it because it doesn't work for me. What's in the way? What do I believe that's stopping me from getting that result? And you need to get there with the Lord. Some of you have had troubles for a very, very long time. And people lay hands on you and they speak words over you and they love on you. And you haven't gotten it yet. I want to let you know something. God is not withholding it from you. He's not. Pastor Trey and I, we often have very, very interesting, deep discussions while at a very important meeting. And we call that meeting the breaking of bread, lunch. And that's where, you know, when you establish covenants, you have a covenant meal in the Old Testament, and they sit down, they eat together. So that's our covenant time, you know. Pastor Trey and Bruce, of course. And the three of us have deep discussions at that time. And here's the thing. Some people have difficulty with this, but I just want to let you know, that's on you. And here it is. There are people that say they're believing God with their whole heart. They say they're trusting in the word. They say that, you know, and they're dying of cancer. And then everybody around them says, how come the Lord let them die? They were in faith. You don't know that. I'll give you an example. I'll use me. Okay? In my river down here, the one that I really live in, this is the one you can't touch. I decide this one. You may influence this one because I might be a people pleaser or be weak and be used to being dominated. So you can push on this one and maybe change the course of my life until you're out of my presence. And then I get to go back to the way I want to do it. I'm being real with you. I want you to walk in this. I'm being very real with you. And so therefore, I can use this one up here to be all sweet when I'm not feeling sweet. Because I'm trained, I need to behave a certain way in society. Okay, so that's this river up here. Okay, and I can even be sweet in this river because emotionally and relationally, I got no problems I'm aware of. So this one can relax and be sweet and kind and say wonderful things about it, okay? But if problems come, then to me those are becoming real, and then I really want to complain and worry and be weirded out, but instead I'm not allowed to because I'm supposed to be sweet and nice to you because you're a Christian. After all, you had nothing to do with the fact that I'm being all weirded out on the inside. So I'm going to be pleasant with you, okay? Until I can get away from everybody, and then I can go be depressed. Because I've got a problem I don't know how to solve. Okay, that's this river. But this river down here, it's a slower moving water. It's like an iceberg. It moves, when those glaciers move, glacier, not iceberg, glaciers, when they move across the earth, they're huge. And they're always moving, but they're moving really, really slow. But they're definitely grinding across the face of the earth, making their scar as they go. This is submarine. It's way down there. It's moving slow, but it's definitely on a course. That's the one that I need to get this truth into. My light has to go on. This is true. So, here's how I was. I am going to be vulnerable. You know who Brené Brown is? All right, moving right along. So I'm going to be vulnerable to you. Transparent. I used to be very nice. I used to be very thoughtful and very kind. The reason I was because I was too afraid to tell people what I really thought. I was too afraid to really be myself because I didn't know if you'd like me if I was myself. And I knew I was kind of broken and had some stuff in my heart, and you didn't deserve me venting it on you. So the pressure that I had inside of me was very, very real, but I didn't know how to not be that way. So I would be nice on the surface. But since it was just the surface, I couldn't be around you very long because I couldn't maintain it for a long period of time because it was fake. Because I couldn't trust, honestly, that I could be real. So what I would do is I would get the Bible and say scriptures, thinking that saying scriptures would make me nicer through and through and solve my problems. But that isn't what solved my problems. It didn't work. I just knew how to quote scriptures while I was being fake. But instead, I still had the pressure. I still had this way of looking at myself. And here's the problem. It was absolutely real to me that that's who I was. Absolutely real. So when I would, and here's the part, when I would complain and boo-hoo to other people about the troubles I was having and about the way my life was going, and I would actually talk to people about that, I was sharing what I thought with all of my being was the truth of what I was living through. That's what I thought. Okay? The Holy Spirit of God, believe it or not, said, that's sin. How can that be sin? This was really happening. This is what I was really feeling and living through. How could that possibly be sin? I mean, I go to sleep at night sometimes in tears because I don't know how to solve the problems. I'm being real, Lord. Because that whole dialogue is coming from the old man, the physical, natural person from all the way that I was raised in my life, from my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters, and everything I've experienced in my life. That voice of me in me identified with a natural flesh and blood person. And to God, that was sin, because he says that old man is dead. I want to let you know, taking this word and planting new seeds on what's really true is very important. But on the other side of that, you got to pull weeds. You got to remove the doubt. You got to get that stuff out of you. And I had to get the scriptures in my heart that were the real harvest of what I wanted. Because my feelings follow my faith. My feelings follow my assessment of the situation. My feelings follow. And if I get into certain situations, my feelings rise up. It's because I've already assessed that in my experience of the past. And I defined it already. And when it shows up again, then the feelings show up and they mimic or they confirm what situation I'm in. That's all the old man. It needs to be renewed. We need to really do that. When I got free of it, of thinking I was actually unrighteous, not really equal with God, sitting in the throne of God, operating from that position of victory. Here it is. Operating from the position of the Creator rather than being under the dominion of the creation and other people. And as I started believing God and sowing seed, and it was troublesome to get that stuff out of my heart. I had to be serious about it because I actually believed it. Because I actually believed it. But I knew it wasn't what Jesus gave me after the cross. I know it's not the ascended, resurrected life. It's an earthly one. And so I had to learn how to call heaven real and that which is unseen as being real before I could let go of the actual pain and suffering that I was holding on to. Not intentionally. It just was laying there all on its own. I have to, when I'm going to plant a garden, the rocks don't leave just because I want to use the dirt. The rocks do not leave just because I want to use that dirt. I have to take the rock out. You have to take the rock out. The Holy Spirit will show you there's a rock. The Holy Spirit will tell you that you need that dirt. The Holy Spirit will show you that the rock needs to be gone, but he won't lift it out. You have to acknowledge it, say what it is, and let it go. Then you got good ground there. Then you say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to plant in that spot? Peace, joy, love, goodness, kindness, patience. What do you want to grow right there now? Because the rock's gone and I'm free. Amen? Yes, the real kingdom of God to be birthed in here. Right, she says from the Baptist background that she's come from, she has a lot of doctrine built into her that looks at the building. In other words, looks at this. And what I'm sharing and what she's starting to understand is that it's about what's being birthed inside of us is what's important. And if you look in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in your own time, you will see how Jesus talks about that very thing, about it's not what's on the outside, it's who you are in your heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, you can look on your own, it says that God, man looks on the outside, but God looks at your dirt of your heart. He looks at your heart. Listen, that's where he looks. And if there's rocks in there and roots and things, that's the unbelief. That's the doubt. In other words, you're not willing to say this isn't true. You know it is true. And you're not offended by anybody. You've dealt with that. You're forgiven. But the thing is there something else in there that says it might not work for me? That's doubt. Okay? I don't want to keep you super, super long. Yes, I do, actually. I'll keep you till 5 if you let me. But here's the thing. To find something that you believe God for, to seriously get with the Holy Spirit and look what shows up in your heart and mind that might not believe confidently, emphatically, undeniably that what you say will actually happen. That's the only way this works, is that you know emphatically that what you say will happen. So if what you say doesn't happen, or you don't have confidence that it will happen, or you try to roll it over onto God to make it happen, you need to find out what the rocks are and get them out. Here's why I'm telling you this. Some of us have been asking God for things and believing for things, and we haven't been getting it, and we don't understand why. So I'm telling you one of the things that could be the why. One of them. Okay? And I want you to walk in victory and power and anointing and be victorious in the earth. Amen? Okay. So I'm just going to finish with this. Jesus said, all power and all authority has been given to me. Right? He actually says, all authority has been given to him. And if you go into Matthew, he says, so go into the world and make disciples. You're supposed to do that. And here's the cue, the big part that he says at the end. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You are not doing this alone. He is one with you. That could be a very good thing that you sit down with the Lord about and really get it cemented in your own soul, in your own heart and mind, that he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That he's always himself, all power, all authority, anointed, loving, gooder than good God is with you always. Because it's his desire that your light shine and that whatsoever thing you say, believing, that you can receive it. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. Amen.